La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou, 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 font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-don. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.
Bonjour Rugby Friends and welcome to the new edition of the French Rugby Connection with moi, your host Véronique Lindieu and
moi, Bill Hooper.
Fabien Gatier is likely to bring some newcomers on the field.
It certainly looks that way, doesn't it? He's unfortunately injuries have forced his hand and suspensions, but yes, it looks like we're going to have an exciting new lineup for France on Sunday when they take on Wales at the Principality Stadium.
Starting with one of our favourites, Monsieur Noël-Alain Le Garec.
Yes, Noël-Alain Le Garec, Le Petit Breton, is going to get his first start in Wales. So when it comes to singing the Welsh National Anthem, he'll know all the words but in Breton.
And joining me will be a different type of player, a massive player. He weighs 145 kilos and measures 2 meters and 3. And his name is Emmanuel Mafou. His name is Emmanuel Mafou, or his friends call him Manny.
And of course, he'll be partnering Flamand in the second row, now back from the injury he had. So a new second row pairing for France in this season's championship.
And because let's not forget, Bill, is that they are teammates at Stade Toulousain, so they are used to playing together. It's going to be beneficial to have them on the French squad on Sunday.
I think they'll make a big difference. Certainly missed Flamand's athleticism in the line-out, and hopefully that'll make a difference on Sunday. So exciting. And in the front row is the return of Julien Marchand starting.
Oh, how can you forget about Julien Marchand, pivotal player who actually got injured?
Yes, he got injured. And in that time, Pieter Mabuka came through and took the starting spot. So reversal of roles now, with Mabuka reverting to the bench probably, and Marchand starting. So that'll be good. And of course, Greg Aldrich is back as captain number 8, hopefully.
That's looking positive. There will be some 2 new debutants as well. It's 99% sure that the players that I will mention will appear on Sunday. So Léo Barré and, of course, Nicolas Deportière, who was absolutely phenomenal when he played against Racing 92 last weekend, with that fantastic try he scored, running about 80 metres.
Yeah, it was a fantastic score, wasn't it? I saw the highlights clip from that game. The way he saw that space and just went for it. He was like an arrow. He just went straight for the line. And they just couldn't, the defence just couldn't get back. Absolutely phenomenal speed. Now, if he's given half a chance in Cardiff on Sunday, we're going to see some pace out there. It's going to be exciting. And if he can link up with Penaud or Pierre Barry, well, they could be making some against the Welsh. So we'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, I'm really excited to see how he goes on Sunday.
And let's not forget that Pierre Barry that you just mentioned also is very used to playing with Nicolas Duporter, because they play together at Bordeaux Bègles.
Absolutely. Yeah, they do. So there should be a good understanding between them. So, yep, that's another plus. On paper, it looks like it's going to be a very exciting France 15. And we must also mention, as you did, Léo Barré, Stade Français fullback. Now, we've seen him score some wonderful tries this season for Stade Français, and he's one of the reasons why they're at the top of the table in the top 14. But he's another exciting runner. So if they give him space by Wales, then they could run riot in Cardiff.
It's going to be great to watch the new kids on the block. France really needed some new blood in his squad, for various reasons that we mentioned in the last few podcasts, but also because they started badly their Six Nations campaigns with loss 38-17 against Ireland. A key win against Scotland. And last week it was a draw against Italy and they got lucky to get that draw. They nearly lost it. So I think Fabien Gatier and his staff really needed to shaken up the French squad.
I think they gave it a good shot. They stuck with the players for three games. Clearly, there was a problem there. Let's hope that there is no problem with the new players coming in. They've been in great club form throughout this season, so they're in form players. So hopefully they can bring that to the table at international level. Hopefully we're going to see a much better France performance on Sunday. They can build on that when they take on England in Lyon to finish the championship. They can finish on a high there. It'll go some way towards regaining the affections of their supporters.
You forgot to mention about Thomas Ramos. Thomas Ramos is going to play as a fly half. That's one of the beauty of Thomas Ramos. He can either play as a backs or as a fly half. So he's going to play for the first time with Nolan Garek. We call it La Charnière, that marriage between 9 and 10. And it's going to be a premiere, first time ever that they will play together in a national game in those positions. Well, not for Le Garek, but obviously for Ramos. So I think it's good that Fabien Gatier decided to become more innovative.
Yes, I think we felt that probably be the case when Mathieu Jalibert got injured against Italy. We saw Ramos went to 10 in that game. We felt it was likely that Gatier would continue with Ramos at 10 going into the rest of the tournament. And so it's proved he's starting in Cardiff on Sunday at 10. And he's well used to playing at 10 for Toulouse. I don't think he'll have any problems at all. He'll know the game plan and there shouldn't be any issues. They've been practicing at Marc Boussis for quite a while now. So I should think he would have built up a good understanding with Nolan Le Garek. I can see that partnership working pretty well.
Yes, definitely. During the press conference, Fabien Gatier did mention that the players had to demonstrate their skills in order to win their jersey this time round.
No one has a God-given right for a jersey in a national team. You've got to earn that right and you've got to prove to the coaches that you are the person that should be wearing that jersey. So there are lots of players who want to have that jersey. So you've got to fight to show that you are the one that should have it, and you've got to play at your top level at all time. They've got to be passionate about wanting to play for France. If you're not passionate for not to put on that blue jersey, then you shouldn't be in the squad. I'm sure that these players are passionate about playing for France, and they will want to do their best. They know they have a great chance to solidify their places in the starting 15. So it's a great opportunity, especially for the young players.
I can't wait to watch that game. But let's review the likely French team, because for our listeners, we are recording this podcast on Thursday, 7th of March. The final squad hasn't been release yet?
Well, I've got the likely starting 15. Yes. I haven't got the likely replacements as such. I think we've got a pretty good idea who the replacements are going to be. But the starting 15, we believe that will take the field in Cardiff on Sunday is fullback Barré, on the wings Penaud and Pierre Barry, the centre partnership of Desportières and Ficou, halfback Le Garec and Ramos, the front row, Bay, Marchand, Antonio, the second row, Flamand, Meafou, and then the back row, Cross, who's been fantastic, World Championship, Olivon, and Aldrit. So there we are. That's the starting 15, the likely starting 15 to take on Wales in Cardiff on Sunday.
I feel so positive when I hear the names that you just mentioned. I feel like a weight has been lifted from my shoulder. So I'm predicting a win for France against Wales. They are just behind France in the Six Nations ranking. So if we look at the ranking right now, it's Ireland, Scotland, followed by England, France, then Wales, and then Italy.
Wales haven't won a game, but they've managed to pick up points along the way. Remember that game in Cardiff against Scotland, the opening weekend? Scotland raced to an early lead, and then Wales came storming back and almost turned the game around. You can never discount Wales, and they also gave England a good game at Twickenham. Wales will scrap for everything, and they won't want to let France dictate the game to them. So it's going to be a fascinating battle. But I think France will have just that little bit too much for Wales on this occasion, and I think they'll win. I don't think it's going to be a massive score, but I think they will win.
So it's going to be a wonderful experience for the youngster to experience the atmosphere at the Principality on Sunday. Absolutely magnificent stadium and much passion from the Welsh. So this could be one to watch. And I will be wearing my beret. You will be wearing your usual beret basque, the black one.
I will. They're both black, so I should be wearing those. And I should have my écharpe. Allez la France.
So, of course. Wearing your scarf with Allez les Bleus written on it. On Saturday, there is that massive game at Twickenham.
Twickenham is England against Ireland. So that's going to be a tremendous battle, isn't it? I think on current form, I can only see one team winning that.
Yes.
Ireland. And I think Ireland will probably win with a bonus point. I can't see England really beating Ireland at all, not on current form. A comfortable win for Ireland will continue their roll on. They're setting up a triple crown decider in Dublin against Scotland.
What are the other games?
Italy will be playing Scotland. You'd think that Scotland would be favourites, and I suspect they probably are. But on current form, Italy can probably cause Scotland a few issues. So I think it could be a tighter game than perhaps some people predict. I expect Scotland will probably win the game, but Italy will have their moments, and they will perhaps run Scotland closer than some people think.
Yeah, and we have to mention there is a young player whose father is Michael Einar. So his son is going to play for Italy because his mother is Italian. So therefore, you know, he has the opportunity to play for Italy. So it's going to be so interesting. And he played for Queens. He's going to play for an Italian team next season. Italy is getting stronger and stronger. And they are under the tenure of the coach Gonzalo Quesada.
After all the years that Italy have struggled, they're finally beginning to see the
light
of labour to bring Italy up to the standard they need to compete in the Six Nations. That's really exciting.
The name of Michael Leinart's son is Leinart. Louis Leinart.
It was sort of similar to one of the French players. It was Louis, yes.
Yeah, that's so correct. So, so another generation. So you got the Tamac, we've got the, refresh my memory, we got the Penaud, and now we got the Leinart. And let's not forget, we got the Bracken, with Charlie Bracken playing for Saracens. So let's wait and see. He might be picked up one day to play for England.
I know you see these players coming through and you start to feel a bit old, don't you?
I don't know. I wasn't too much into rugby during that time. I only started a bit later. But anyway, it's going to be a wonderful Six Nations. My eyes will look like rugby balls at the end of the weekend.
Well, I think BBC have got one. I can't remember. The game on Sunday, I think, is on ITV in Cardiff. So, yeah, but anyway, it doesn't matter which channel it's on, you're going to watch it anyway. Personally, I like to sometimes put the radio on from France so I get the French commentary.
Oh, nice. You're showing off the fact that you speak French fluently now. Let's not forget Top 14 took place as well last weekend. What are the latest?
Well, yes. We're beginning to get a little bit of a gap at the top of the table now, aren't we? With Stade Francais and Toulouse both moving away, both on 55 points now, 10 points ahead of Bordeaux-Bègles. So good win for Toulouse at home against Castres, 33-6. So that's a good win against Castres, who are currently in fourth place.
Mm-hmm.
At Stade Francais, they beat Pau 25-12. So that, again, is a good, solid performance from them. Toulon beat Perpignan 44-22. And again, I think there's a couple of tries for our little Breton player who plays down there, Drayon. He scored, so that was brilliant. Bayonne beat Lyon 39-10. And then Montpellier, they had a very important win at Oyonnax, 39-35. And that lifts Montpellier out of the playoff zone as well now. They've climbed the table, which is great for them.
So Bernard Laporte is bringing his magic with him. Bernard Laporte and Altrad would be feeling better.
They're only 7 points away from a top six place. That's what they would be aiming for, to get into that top six, so they're in the playoffs at the end of the season.
Who knows, it might be feasible, because they were in the same situation in 2021 during the COVID time. They had a disastrous first 6 months, and then from January, when Philippe Saint-André took the reins to train the team, that's when they ramped up.
You never know, as you say.
And
La Rochelle seem to be climbing up the table again now. They had a good win against Clermont, 42-3. So they're just outside the playoff places now as well.
Yes, and I heard Urios was absolutely furious. He exploded with frustration, with anger regarding the score that the team got. So, to be continued.
I'm a little bit concerned about Clermont. They seem to be on a dive. So, I think it's watch this space. We look at the fixtures for this week, and Clermont have a local derby against Oyonnax. That's going to be interesting, isn't it? Because Oyonnax will be battling and scrapping for every point they can. So,
yes.
Clermont don't want to get dragged into that.
I don't know what will happen to Urios if Clermont lose against Oyonnax. I can't even think about it. He will implode, he will explode. I wouldn't like to be in a changing room, that's for sure.
I get all the canos in the Auvergne re-erupting.
Absolutely, what a metaphor. So, I heard through the grapevine that Romain Tamac is back.
Yeah, he is. He's back, and he's back training. I think they hope for him to be back playing by the end of March. So that's going to be great news.
He's got another great news as well. His partner is expecting the baby. So, yes, he's got loads to play for.
We haven't mentioned was the great performance by France Sevens in Los Angeles. They won the tournament.
Dupont is bringing his special skills, his transferable skills to rugby seven. This guy is a genius. He's a extraterrestrial. He can play anything.
I think he's proving the point, and really, that's why he is rightly considered to be the best player in the world at this moment. He can just turn his hand to anything, and in some of the games I've watched, he's just his understanding and
He's got an innate understanding of what rugby is. He can read the games, but also he works really, really hard. He's very, very disciplined. He will be back soon playing for Stade Toulousain.
And I'm sure they'll welcome him back with open arms, and they'll be hoping that he can help them to get to another top 14 final.
And regarding Kalusi, unfortunately, he will be off for 4 weeks. He injured his fingers and he got operated on. So not great news for him and for Racing 92 either.
But I'm sure he'll be back, and he'll be raring to get back into it when he's fit.
So, Bill, it's been a pleasure speaking with you about French rugby. I can't wait for the weekend to start.
I think we're all very excited. It's like we said, on Saturday we got the hors d'oeuvre, and then we got the main course on Sunday. So, really looking forward to it. It should be fantastic.
Au revoir.
À bientôt, les amis.
La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou, glou, glou font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-dong. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.